Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Monday, March 18th. I'm Desiree Frazier. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, a vote this week could move the state one step closer to restoring the ballot initiative process. But votes in the Senate may be difficult to piece together. Then some lawmakers want to create a process for early voting. Plus, many students and alumni of Mississippi University for Women are happy a bill died to merge the university with another. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. Restoring the ballot initiative requires two steps: putting a new initiative process in state law, and amending the old process in the state constitution. The Senate has passed a bill, 2770, that serves as a vehicle to restore it. But the Senate resolution needed to amend the constitution requires at least a two-thirds majority vote. They're at least four votes shy of that right now. Republican Senator David Parker of Olive Branch authored those bills, and he tells our Will Stribling he's not confident they'll get the votes they need.
The way it would work is pretty similar to what our previous process has been. You know, so the question or the issue would be sent out there to gather signatures, and if those signatures were gathered, the issue was basically certified through the process by the Secretary of State and Attorney General as meeting the requirements. Then it would be presented to the legislature at the start of the next legislative session. The legislature would just basically have ability through my bill to just accept it or to not act on it or to reject it. Previously, what our legislation did was it allowed the legislature to accept it or to propose an alternative, and that alternative then would go on to the ballot as well. As the initiative as proposed by the sponsors. So in this method, we were taking out the alternative from the legislature. And I know I'm being long-winded on this, but if the legislature chose not to adopt the measure that was being proposed, it would go on to the ballot for the people to vote on. And then should they choose to vote in favor of that with a 60% margin, then that measure would be codified by the Secretary of State into our code section.
Talk about the reasoning behind raising that threshold to 67% with your amendment.
So if you watch the floor debate on it, you know, there was some discussion on whether or not it should be lowered. And there was an amendment that was brought to lower it. The procedure that we have in the Senate is that if anything is a revenue bill, it requires a higher threshold. And there's a good possibility that anything statutorily that might be changed could be revenue. And so the 60% threshold, as I introduced it, was to reflect the procedures that we have, you know, currently in both the Senate and the House. When the amendment was brought to lower the threshold down to a simple majority, that amendment was defeated, and I offered one to raise it. The reason I offered that amendment was to show that the Senate position was that we would like it to stay at 60% as part of our ability to move it forward. And even with that change to 67%, the bill barely made it through on a majority vote that we were taking at the time. And so I felt that with 67%, it might make it even more acceptable to some who had reservations, but it still barely got through even with that amendment.
Going back to the legislative alternatives, that provision has been in other ballot initiative revival bills in the past. Can you talk about y'all's reasoning behind not including that in the Senate bill? Was it just that it's too confusing for voters?
That's my opinion, and that just comes from my experience with it and in measures that have been proposed when we have had, two a legislative alternative along with the provision being proposed in the past. I can't tell you how many phone calls I fielded from people who just did not understand, okay, if I vote no on this first question, should I still vote on the next two? And the answer is yes, because even if your first will was not, you know, cast on the first, you want to have your opinion counted on kind of the other measures. And so I felt like if we could make a change that made it more transparent, where it's an up or down vote, but to make that threshold be 60%, that would be easier to understand, easier to explain to voters, and easier to achieve if you were someone who was hoping to pass a measure than our current provisions have created.
Yeah. And in the Senate plan, are any issues going to be off limits for ballot initiatives?
So the challenge now is that the measure, as I passed it, was held on a motion to reconsider. We barely had enough votes to pass the bill on the floor this week, and there were several members who were missing from the vote. So I'm going to try this weekend to try to see first if I have the motion, the votes to pull it off the table. And then my concern beyond that is that even if we pass this bill, we still would have to pass a change to the Constitution through a separate bill. And that separate bill would be the one you're mentioning that would have exclusions or other things improved in it, not improved in it, but included in it, that are listed in a bill that I did not take up on the floor this week. So the challenge I have in assessing it is if I'm unable to get a strong majority vote on this portion of the legislation, I'm pretty sure I will have an even greater challenge in achieving a two-thirds vote to change the Constitution.
That's Republican Senator David Parker of Olive Branch. Coming up, some lawmakers want to create a process for early voting. You're listening to Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. Please think about why you choose MPB as your station for news and thoughtful discussion. Then support everything you love about MPB by contributing what you think is fair. Do that by calling 888-372-4483 or give in 3 minutes online at mpbonline.org. Joining me in the studio are Kevin Farrell and Charles Arnold to tell you more.
Thanks, Desiree. And thanks for listening to MPB on the Monday of our March fundraiser. I am Kevin Farrell, and we've been asking you to think about how much MPB Think Radio means to you on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis, and how MPB's award-winning TV and online resource for kids makes a real difference in the communities across Mississippi. So please make a donation in any amount to help us keep that great radio coming, whether you're driving to and from work or on the weekends. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Charles Arnold.
Thank you, Kevin. We're holding a brief on-air fundraising campaign at MPB Think Radio. This is part of an overall effort online through email and the mail to raise the money needed to fund programs here on Think Radio, on our online learning portal, and on television. Giving of yourself not only feels good, it's good for communities all across Mississippi. During the drive, we're holding a series of drawings. The sooner you get involved, the more drawings you'll be entered in. Please call or text the word GIVE, that's G-I-V-E, to 888-372-4483, or follow the Donate Now link at mpbonline.org.
What if MPB Think Radio wasn't here tomorrow morning? Would you feel like a dear friend moved away and didn't tell you where they were going?
I know I would.
Well, thankfully, there are people who keep this what-if scenario from coming true. And right now, we'd like you to be one of them. Take 3 minutes to protect journalism and compelling midday programs here at MPB Think Radio.
Make a contribution in any amount to support everything you hear on MPB Think Radio and everything you see on MPB television. Call or use your smartphone to text the word GIVE to this number, 888-372-4483. That's 888-372-4483, or donate at mpbonline.org.
You know, MPB Think Radio invests your contribution into coverage of local politics and policy issues on Mississippi Edition. We'll cover the primaries, conventions, and events leading up to Election Day to help our electorate enter the polls well-informed. Mississippi Edition will stay on top of that for you. You keep the community connected to the people we serve. Do your part right now. Support journalism. It's a pillar of democracy.
And you're listening to a whole lot of journalism right here on Mississippi Edition, I'll tell you that. When you call or go online to support MPB, we hope you will consider becoming a monthly sustainer. No more worries about your support expiring. None of your gift is spent on spending renewal notices or on processing a paper check. And you can choose a thank you gift each year if you wish. Become a sustainer online at mpbonline.org or call right now and we'll help set you up at 888-372-4483. You can also text the word GIVE to that same number, 888-372-4483.
When you make a contribution to support the station at mpbonline.org by the phone, you can consider leaving a comment. We'd like to read them on the air. Edna from Jackson chipped in and told us, I love your programs. Very simple. Give us a call. Make your contribution right now, mpbonline.org, or call us at 888-372-4483. And we appreciate your financial support.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. Early voting could be on the ballot for Mississippi voters this November. That's if the legislature approves Senate Bill 2580, which is now on its way to the House for review. Senator Jeremy England of Van Cleve is the bill's author. He explains why he thinks voters should have additional time to cast their ballots. The bill provides 15 days of early voting before the general election,
which will allow for 15 days of voting prior to Election Day for individuals that show up at their circuit clerk's office and present a valid photo ID. What's going to happen if they do that? They're going to be printed a ballot. They'll be able to vote on that ballot and then actually cast it into the Scantron just like Election Day. That their vote will then be secure in that machine, and it will be tabulated after 7 p.m. on Election Day just like everyone else's ballots. It's going to add to integrity of our election system, in my opinion, for that reason, because one thing that hurts our elections a lot of times is when we're counting ballots after Election Day, the perception is, you know, where are these ballots coming from? Where are these votes coming from? Well, this gets those votes counted on Election Day after the polls close. So it's going to add to our integrity. It's also going to help our hardest working Mississippians out there, the folks that are working shift work and may drive an hour to and from work every day. They might not be able to make the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And it's also going to help people who just don't know how they're going to be on Election Day. You know, they don't know what the weather's going to be. They don't know if their children are going to be sick. And this gives them opportunity, you know, as soon as that 15-day period opens, they can go vote at their circuit clerk's office. We see early voting causing issues are being perceived as causing issues in other states. Our system is very different from what we're seeing in other states. We're not talking about drop boxes. We're not doing ballot harvesting. We're not talking about mail-in early voting. We're talking about just like on Election Day, you show up in person, you have to present your valid ID, and then you're going to be put into the statewide system, the SIM system, and it's going to say that you voted. You signed the registry book, and you cast that ballot. So that is one way we add to integrity. I think it's also adds to the convenience for the voter and also adds to the confidence of the voter. When you fill out a ballot and you put it in the Scantron, if there's an issue with your ballot, say if that machine reads that you may have voted for two candidates in one race or you may have skipped a race inadvertently, that Scantron will kick it back out to you and you'll allow you to correct your ballot at that time. Whereas our current in-person absentee ballot system, once you put that ballot in that envelope and seal it and sign over the envelope, the next person who looks at that, if they see something off about your ballot, it may result in your entire vote getting tossed out. And we don't want that. And absentee does have to have an excuse. Yeah, so this is you could call this no-excuse voting just as well as in-person early voting, because you can show up really at your convenience during those 15 days. As long as you bring your ID, you're going to be able to vote.
That's Senator Jeremy England of Van Cleve. Next, many students and alumni of Mississippi University for Women are thankful a bill died that would have merged the university with another. I'm Desiree Frazier. Mississippi Edition is brought to you by MPB listeners who are also supporters. This is radio for the community, supported by the community. It's our March on Air fundraising campaign. Give now at 888 372 4483 or do your part at mpbonline.org. Joining me in the studio to tell you why it's a good time to give are Kevin Farrell and Charles Arnold.
Good morning. This is MPB Think Radio, and I am Kevin Farrell. This is our brief March on-air fundraising campaign, and we're asking you to do what you can do to help us out on this Monday of the week. Listener-supported radio is beholden to the very people whose lives are made better by having access to MPB anytime, day or night. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Charles Arnold.
Thanks, Kev. A lot has happened since MPB got started more than 50 years ago. Educational television turned into channels that now serve children pre-K through high school. Online, MPB's education department created the Digital Education Network to help students stay on top of their studies through technology. MPB Think Radio brings NPR plus hours and hours of locally produced, locally hosted programs to homes all over the state. All of this comes free to the people of Mississippi. While it's free to access, it does technically cost money to produce. That's where you come in. And when you contribute early in the campaign, you'll be entered in all of the sweepstakes drawings during this March on-air campaign. Please donate what you can at mpbonline.org or make a donation right now by calling or texting the word GIVE to this number, 888-372-4483. That's 888-372-4483.
We're asking you to invest in local news coverage that keeps you and your neighbors well informed. Mississippi Edition has covered the recovery efforts from the tornado damage in the Delta. 26 deaths were attributed to last year's tornadoes here in Mississippi and in Alabama. With your support, MPB can keep you and your family fully informed daily through coverage right here on Mississippi Edition. That's why we're asking you to go ahead and take 3 minutes right now to do your part and help out.
Please consider a $100 contribution to MPB Think Radio right now. When you think about it, $100 is about 27 cents a day. It's hard to put a price on everything you receive from MPB Think Radio, so we won't ask you to do that. We're asking you to simply give what you think is fair. If 27 cents a day sounds about right, others agree with you and are giving $100 right now to support MPB Think Radio. Grab your smartphone and text the word GIVE to 888-372-4483. Call us at that number, 888-372-4483, or give online at mpbonline.org.
Where else can you get in-depth understanding of the world while you get your morning coffee? What other station brings you expertise in everything from DIY home projects to automobiles to legal and financial issues? Where else could you dish about a dish that brings back memories of your grandma? You learn so much from MPB, and it's all with the push of a button. And the best part is, you can support the news with a quick and easy donation at mpbonline.org. Think about what you can give to support this service. Do whatever you think is fair, but give us a call right now.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. A bill is dead that would have merged two colleges, making the University for Women, or rather the Mississippi University for Women, a division of Mississippi State University. Lawmakers faced a loud outcry from faculty, former and current students at the W about that proposal. Following the announcement, the measure would not move forward. Some are calling it a victory for the nation's first public women's college. Our Kobe Vance speaks with one alumni who is against the merger, Sonny Lemons. He's a grad from both the W and Mississippi State, and says a merger would have covered up the legacy of his undergraduate experience.
My initial thoughts, as many alums probably had the same thought, was, well, here we go again. Because, I mean, it's been a continual part of MUW's history to have to try to rise over adversity, and going back to everything from the Ayers case to the present day, that specter of merging has been something that many individuals have felt was needed and necessary for our school. I am incredibly proud that there were many within the Senate who saw that, you know, wow, maybe that's not the best idea. And so when the bill went through all of its various iterations of what it was going to be, what it was going to do now, what it was going to come back out of committee for, it's relief that the bill has, for now, died, you know, with a potential motion to reconsider. But I also think that if nothing else, it has reminded individuals within both the legislature and the Mississippi public at broad just how important and needed the W is.
There have been conversations ongoing about how Mississippi has 8 public universities and colleges, which is pretty large for a state with a population the size of Mississippi's, just shy of 3 million. And then this bill was introduced. It seemed like a surprise for many people. Was that how you perceived it?
Absolutely. It felt as if this just came out of nowhere, because what the initial bill was and what the initial bill represented was not what made it to the floor. And so I know that myself, many other alums, we were completely blindsided by this. The administration of the W has gone on record as saying they had absolutely no foreknowledge of this either. And it was, in my personal and professional opinion, at the very least, you know, the courtesy of a phone call to the president of the W should have happened to be like, hey, we're thinking about this. Just wanted to give you a heads up. When you look at the history of higher education, Mississippi, for many ways, is always looked at as the bottom of the rung on the ladder of education. And I, as someone who has worked in higher ed for the majority of my career, I, you know, find it somewhat flabbergasting that rather than taking the opportunity within the state to highlight the HBCUs that we have, to highlight the W, which was the first public university for women in the country, and not raise those up as beacons of progress within the state, it's flabbergasting to me. It seems as if the state is caught in a cycle of continually giving the funds and the spotlight to the schools that in many ways don't actually need them because they're very self-sustaining.
Sunny Lemons is an alumni of Mississippi University for Women and an advocate for the school remaining independent. This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.